Perfectly Sane Show, episode 290. I am Chris, not joined by Tony, or Fozzie, or Don. But Jeff is here.
Yeah, buddy.
And Pete's here as well.
Way to make it seem like second string.
I mean, you're really not, but...
I feel like I'm here more than Don nowadays, anyways.
Well, yeah, Don, well Don's never a regular.
Yeah, he's just like, he's a fill-in, like...
Yeah. He's more behind the scenes guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so the three of us are here. FYI, we're not going to talk about it first, but we're going to talk about Firewatch and probably spoil the shit out of it, so.
Yeah, buddy.
But we're going to talk about some other games first, like Unravel, which also came out this week.
Yeah. Kind of a busy week, I guess. I mean, it's some things I was looking forward to.
There's some stuff, yeah. There were like three games I wanted to play this week, so.
Yeah.
And then Street Fighter comes out on, well, Monday night. GameStop's doing a pre-release thing, so I'm like, yes.
No, don't do it.
Yeah, man. I'm competing at night, so that'll be fun.
Fighting games are not allowed on this podcast.
Motherfucker.
What?
If I win that tournament, I get that game for free.
Well, that's a good way to get it.
Indeed.
Are you good at it? Because you'll probably win.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. I mean, I don't know who else is coming, so I couldn't say, like, relative to the other skill. My hope is that I'll be all right.
Depending on the size of the town you live in or whatever, you'll probably kick everyone's ass. I mean, if you are confident saying you're good at it, I wouldn't be surprised.
I am confident in saying I suck at Street Fighter.
I'm confident in saying I could never play that game. Like, I'm... Mortal Kombat kid, so like playing Street Fighter was like a foreign language. It was like, I don't understand this.
They're all the same.
I don't know. I think it feels different.
The scene and knows that is the most reductive statement of all time. But
they're all the same. Yeah. I think there's some differences.
I just press a lot of buttons, so I guess they are.
Yeah,
all
yeah man. Like, and at that point, you're just basically playing Smash Brothers. So
I'd rather play that than either of those. So. At least I can understand what I'm doing in Smash Brothers, kind of.
I don't even understand Smash Brothers, so.
Yeah.
Fighting games, not my forte, so. Unravel is not a fighting game, so.
God damn it.
Definitely not.
Could you imagine if it was, though? How hilarious that would be?
I'd take him in the next Smash.
I want to fight a game of characters that are made out of like yarn and household materials.
wasn't Clay Fighter that?
Kind of.
Maybe. God damn it.
I don't really remember Clay Fighter though. I never actually played it.
Yeah, I knew me neither. I always wanted it though. I always thought that was amazing.
It looked cool.
Graphics. Yeah.
It probably played like shit, but
I'm pretty sure it did.
You guys remember Photo Fighter?
No.
PSP?
Huh. You take like a photo and.
Yeah, it was dumb, but it was a PAX East game. Actually, I saw it at the very first PAX East with Fozzie. If Fozzie was here, he would remember. And they just had a booth, and it was all like Mortal Kombat, like rotoscope stuff. You just have somebody take a picture of you doing your various moves, and then then it was on a 2D plane, and that's how you played the game.
The original PAX East was in that like small.
Yeah, it was in a mall. Weird,
yeah, well, it was connected to the mall, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a weird place.
I really was. I was real glad the next year when they moved to a real convention center because it felt super ghetto.
Yeah. Moved to the Massachusetts Convention Center after that, so.
Yeah.
But Unravel, not a fighting game, not at PAX East, maybe. I don't know.
It had to have been a couple years. Or 1 year. What was it announced last year?
We just found out about Unravel at E3, so
yeah.
It might be at E3 at PAX East this year, but as like one of those games that EA has already released. Like, here's one system, come play it. I don't know if EA does a booth there though.
They did a couple years, but and they usually showcase like their indie stuff there. But East is weird because it falls right before E3, so
yeah.
You get a lot of old stuff there. An awful lot of good stuff.
But, Unravel's weird, because it is... Kind of looks like an indie game. But it's not an indie game, it's an EA game.
Small team,
yeah. Not EA-owned team, either, I don't think. So.
At some point, like, we're just gonna start debating the merits of what makes somebody an indie team.
What is an indie team?
Is indie because they're not owned? Like, what is it? Are indie developers owned and not published? Like,
I don't know.
Indie developers are people who make 2D platformers or walking simulators. That's it.
With pixel art?
That's how we define it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, pixel art can be a piece. You
and
don't
all
have
of the music sounds like it came out of the movie Juno.
That's possible, too. So Unravel, 2.5D side-scroller, puzzle platformer.
Yeah. Nice.
Where you are a Yarny. He is a stuffed creature. Not stuffed, but he's made out of yarn. And he uses his body to solve environmental puzzles and to move on to the next area.
Yeah, not only did they rip off the look of Little Big Planet, but also the clunky controls.
It is a little floaty.
I remember when I first saw it, I'm like, yeah, it looks like Little Big Planet. It's like, oh, God. I don't know. And it's like that with, like, physics-based puzzles, which I think, like, Little Big Planet had a little bit of that, too.
Yeah, I feel that these ones are actually better than what was in Little Big Planet.
Yes.
Although they're, like you said, some of the clunky controls. Sometimes, like, you'll be trying to swinging stuff, and it just... Yarny will grapple the wrong
for stuff. The longest time I couldn't figure out how to swing at all because I would be doing it like any other fucking 2D platformer and I would try to jump and then, you know, throw out my yarn to connect it at the next point. No, you're not supposed to do that here. You just let go of the fucking, you just use the right trigger to throw your yarn and then you let go of the yarn. So like I'd be hanging there like swinging back and forth and I'm pressing A trying to jump. I'm like, why would he not fucking jump? And you know what else, and this has happened to me quite a bit too, is like sometimes he doesn't throw the yarn out like yes. when I want to when I'm pressing it, like it
yeah there's me. A delay sometimes in what he's doing, which is annoying because
yes
it's a platformer, it needs to be precise at points,
it needs to be
at certain points,
it needs to be precise, like dude, I don't know, it needs to be better. And I'm not even hating on it. Like, I think the game is okay, but...
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed what I played of it, the two levels. I'm not getting that, like, emotional connection that I think you're supposed to be getting from it.
I think that's a little clunky. It's straining a little bit.
It's forced.
Yeah, it's forced. It's, like, trying to reach for something. And it's not, like... terrible, but it's like trying to artificially like give you emotions. It's like, but I like that part of it kind of like one of the things I do like about the game is that part of it is how like each level is on, you're basically going through someone's memory, you're going through someone's house and you're looking at their photographs and then you go through their memories, but each level you play then it like adds a bunch of photos to a scrapbook and like a little like kind of like quote about the area you just played. Like, yeah. I kind of like that. Like, those are, like, the things that, like, we're kind of joking about right now. Those are things I like about it. That, and, like, I really like the look of it. Like...
Oh, it's beautiful looking.
Just, like, in, like, the third level, which you haven't gotten to that, like, yet, there's, like, a part where you're, like, running through some, like, water and shit, and, like, fucking a giant moose walks by. And it just looks, like, so huge next to you, you know, like... I don't know. I like that, like the hyper realistic look of it, and like the sense of like scale in it.
There's a nice sense of scale to everything. Like Yarny is, he seems appropriate to the environment, which I think is really kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. So far, it's like it's just okay for me though. Like there's things besides the things we've already touched on. One, the levels are like 15 fucking minutes long.
They're long.
Seems like. Like, that's too long for a 2D platformer, I feel like. I feel like you're going over 5 minutes, you're kind of stretching it, you know? What the hell is the other thing I didn't like? I think that the core, like... hook or whatever to the gameplay, like, I don't really love it. Like, the fact that you're always running out of yarn and you have to, like, kind of... Like, you... Essentially, the little yarny doll unravels as you're running through the level. Like, he leaves a string of yarn behind him. And you'll eventually run out. So, like, you sometimes want to, like, backtrack and, like, get some slack and, you know, figure out a better way to get through the level.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, there's kind of, like, generally, like, an optimal way between each checkpoint.
Well, and some of them, some of the things you have to go a longer way first, and you'll open up a path, and then you can be like, okay, now I have to backtrack, and then I could go, like, a more direct route.
Or, that, like, you have to, like, there was one, I think it's in the second level, where a checkpoint is, you could miss it. You could totally go by it. And you might be able to make it to the next checkpoint without doing it, but that obviously makes everything harder.
Yes.
But, that. Yeah, so, like, if you miss the checkpoint, like, kind of screws you, or it does make the game harder, and that's not fun.
Do but you gain, like, all your yarn when you get a checkpoint?
Yeah, when you hit a checkpoint, it's like a spool of yarn, and you just kind of re-spool yourself, and you're now tethered to that checkpoint.
It's just the whole central conceit of it all. Like, I think that makes for, like, a kind of dull, kind of annoying, clunky kind of platformer.
Because there's a prime path through everything. And it's not, like, in, you know, like, Mario or Sonic or other platformers, there might be the prime path, but it's not, it doesn't ever punish you for going off that path and trying to do different things. This actually, like, you're punished. You can't get to the next point if you go off the prime path.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. I just think that whole style, like, that whole idea, I just, like I said, it's just kind of makes it dull and clunky. Like, when I'm playing a platformer, like, what I want to do is run through the level, like, preferably as fast as I can. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, this is just not that type of game.
No, you need to, there's a lot of times where you need to stop and sit and kind of look at the environment and see what you need to manipulate to get to the next area.
Yeah, and
some of the puzzles
guess,
are cool, though.
Yeah, some of them are, but some of them, I feel like there was parts in the third level where, like, even once I figured out what I was doing, like, the clunky controls were getting in my way. Like, I wasn't always grabbing things with my, like, you could shoot your, like, yarn out, basically, like Spider-Man would, like, shoot his web or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, it wouldn't do it when I, like, I know it needed to do it. Like, I knew that was the solution, and I would just, like, miss it somehow. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit, dude. It's so weird. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's not, like, a bad game, but it's just, I'm not excited about it. Like, it's just okay.
Yeah. That's kind of why I haven't purchased it all the way yet.
I purchased it all the way, but at $20 though, like, I can't be mad about it. Like, it's fine. I'll play through it all, you know.
Right. Like, it's not like it's $60 Little Big Planet and you're angry with the handling of it, and that's different. Like, and I probably will buy it at some point in the near future. Just debating on which 2D platformer I want to tackle first. So,
why? What's the other one?
Assassin's Creed Russia.
Oh, I heard that was, like, they somehow just continued to get worse.
Is that a third one?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
See, they didn't skip Assassin's Creed this year, Joe. They really released two games.
I feel like you just talked about, like, an India one or something.
I did. Yeah. That just came out a month ago. These were all supposed to be out last year, mind you. China came out last April, and they were supposed to follow every 2 months or something like that, with India and Russia coming out last year. They were somehow pushed, and they somehow made India worse, and as Pete said, the early word on Russia is that they made this one even worse. I am hopeful. So some of the stuff I heard that I read in the one review I read, the stuff that they were complaining about was the stuff I actually liked from China. So unless, like, they fucked it up completely, maybe that, maybe it just could have been a, they didn't happen to like that piece of it. I don't know. But that's also only $10 as opposed to $20. So
I still say you go on Unravel there. You get a little, here's why. Because you get a little thank you note from the developers of Unravel.
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Did you get in the free version, Chris? Like, right before you start up the game?
Yeah,
like,
a little, like, thank you for playing.
Yeah.
I already got that.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I kind of like that. I appreciate that. Like, the Witcher developers, was that CD Projekt?
Yeah, CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, they did that. Like, that came in the case for Witcher 3. And it's just, I don't know. It's like a really humble, like, you know, hey, thank you. Like, we really appreciate you spent your money on our product. Like, I don't know. It works for me. Yeah, bye.
No, it is nice, though. It's like, hey, we appreciate that you don't have a ton of money and that you decided to spend it on something that we made. That is nice.
And it makes you feel like you're getting something crafted by people who care and that they're real people. It's like kind of like buying from a mom and pop, even though you're buying from EA. But
right. There's that.
Or Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
But you also played some more Tomb Raider.
Yeah, buddy. I remember you guys were kind of asking me, oh, would you get the DLC now?
Yeah, I was wondering if you would, because you really liked Rise of the Tomb Raider, but...
It was my game of the year, but...
You're not generally big on add-ons.
I've probably bought, like, 5 add-ons in my life, if that. You know what I mean? Like, I just... I'm still of the belief that, like, it should all be there.
Just and first.
Yeah, and this... probably should have been there. Like, it's not important or anything to, like, the main game, but it's essentially one mission.
Okay.
I think it's called The Legend of Baba Yaga or The Witch of Baba Yaga, something like that.
Yeah. I didn't hear very good things about it.
It's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, except the price and how much you get for that price.
How much is it?
Yeah.
It's only $10.
Okay.
But it's really just like one, like, it's like if you found a side mission or something in the game, and it, like, a bigger one, you know, it takes about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Does seem a little costly for $10.
You find this, like, girl in a locker, and this is going to be one of my complaints coming up, but you have to access the DLC, you have to go to the Soviet installation in the game, which is one of the earlier areas. I don't know if you remember, Chris, they had, like, that, like, you know, kind of under construction type building.
Right.
You have to go there and you find this girl in a locker. It's kind of ridiculous. She's like hiding in a locker. I don't know. I forgot what the hell she was hiding from.
Oh, she's not dead. Okay.
Yeah. She's hiding from bad guys. And she says something about, like, her grandpa, like, went to go get revenge on this witch who killed her, like, her grandma. So, yeah, it has, like, nothing to do with the main plot or anything. But, like, that's it. It's just, like, a one-off mission that you go off and do.
So, what are you doing?
So, you have to go, like, she wants you to go get this witch. Or go find, you know, go find her grandpa and, you know, save him from getting this witch. And it's, like, you connect to this area that's, like, off the path of the Soviet installation. And you go just do this one little area. And you go and fight the witch. Like, that's... You know, it's like I said, it's like an hour, hour and a half, maybe, you know?
Weird.
And
weird, like, boss battle type thing?
Yeah, well, I'll get to that in a second, but, like, my one complaint about this, too, is you go in there and, like, you're gonna need this type of stuff to battle the witch. Like, you're gonna have to go collect some berries and go kill 2 deer and get their livers, and, like, you'll concoct this thing to fight the witch or some bullshit like that. And so it has you going back into the Soviet installation to find berries and shit. I'm like, the last thing that should be DLC is me going back into the part of the game I've already played to collect shit. That's bullshit, dude.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just repurposing.
Yeah, areas. Like, I just...
Or, like, it was already part of the game and they took it out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I had found this in the game as I was initially playing through it, I'm like, oh, this is, like, a cool little awesome, like, 1 hour, like, Easter egg, almost, like, this hidden side mission that's pretty fucking sweet because it, like, has some stuff to it, you know? Mm-hmm. There's one big puzzle that is pretty clever. took me a while to figure out. And then like I was even questioning myself because I missed a jump one time. I'm like, oh, did I not figure it out? And I tried the same thing again. I'm like, okay, I got it. And then the boss fight is great, dude. It's like one of the best boss fights I've played in a long time. So like that part was like really fucking fun. It's like a boss fight that goes over like multiple floors. Like each phase, it goes up one more floor, and you have to like do platforming and figure out how to get up to the next floor. It's really cool like that. I wish there was more of that in the actual game because I don't remember tons of boss fights like that. It's fine. Like it was great. Like I'm like remembering how much I loved this game and how fun it is. But then like it was over, and I was like, that's $10, especially when like a good 20 minutes of it was me wandering around the Soviet installation. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Maybe a $5 or free, like free DLC. Okay, but I don't know. I think it's a $10. I'd say.
Did
like
it come with any more like card pack things or costumes or something, or was it literally just the mission? And that
there
was...
may have been some others. Like there may have been costumes or something, but. Oh no! I think there was like one or two costumes. But, like, damn, it's negligible. Like,
well, I was just wondering if there was some other sort of like attached value that made them think.
No, and like
we
I don't even
all
think
all this stuff together. We can do.
I don't think it even gave you more optional challenge tombs, which is like, what the fuck, dude? You know, that's like the best thing about that game. And, like, give me one more of those. Like it said, I was like I had found one or I had entered one, but I think it was like I was just near one that I had done before. I think. Maybe. I don't know. I did not find a new challenge to put it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's alright, but don't buy it.
It wasn't $10, all right.
Buy Rise of the Tomb Raider. Enjoy the fuck out of it. It's, I think, a really good game. And the DLC is really fun, but I don't know. I feel like $10 is too much for.
Sounds like $10 is a lot of money for an hour and a half. That doesn't even. That only an hour of which is in a new area.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yep.
Well, we all played Firewatch.
We did.
Played and beat.
That's
right?
A game.
We all beat it.
Yeah.
That's a game.
It
a
is
very good game, in my opinion. I feel like I'm going to be the only one here. I'm going to feel like I'm going to be crying into my beer here, but
I mean,
really
you know, take
it.
Comfort in the fact that we're more or less. I mean, you know, I think I didn't like it. I think Chris, from what he was telling me, sounds like he's in between you and I. Like, if you and I are on opposite ends of the extreme, he sits in the middle.
Yep.
You know, Fozzie, like, maybe. He didn't like the ending. I don't know what that means about what he thought of the rest of the game. But you know, most
people
are super positive. So
the only negative thing I ever saw in reviews was not liking the ending. Except yours, you just seemed to like not really like it in general. But
I like it up through day. What's right after day 15? Day 33 or something? 36? Yeah. So
there's like day 33, 36. Shit
yeah,
like
that. That whatever was in the 30s is good, and then right after that it just takes a swan dive.
The thing is, I'm not surprised by the people who don't like the ending. I am surprised by you, like, just really generally not liking, like, the whole mystery. Like, basically once the plot kicks in, you... Based on your review, you seem like once the plot kicks in, you didn't like it.
No, I was like, because the first bunch of like, you know, levels, if you want to call them that, have like nothing to do with that, and it's a completely different game in between those sections. You know, it's almost, you know, you almost think the plot's going to be about finding those teenage girls and stuff, and then that just sort of gets wrapped up. Like, oh,
it's
yeah,
a
hey,
little bit of a red herring.
Hey, by the way, this thing we were spending so much time on, we just, you know, swept that under the rug and that was it. But yeah, like, this whole, like, conspiracy about we're being listened to and why, like, you know, originally they try and make you think there's some, like, government experiment going on, which thank God it wasn't that because that would have been even worse.
I think that's what more people wanted more, though, like, out of the ending. God. I did not want it. I was happier that it came back to something smaller and human. Like, I like thrillers that do that. Like,
but it wasn't even that. Like, I still don't understand why he was listening to them. Like, unless there was some...
He wanted to get them out of there. So he's like trying to fuck with them, I think.
But there were always going to be people. They were always going to send more watchers out.
Yeah, was he just going to like so he, the way he made it sound was like this had something to do with them in particular, and as because like if that okay, so we're doing a very
why don't we zoom out and
yeah,
stuff.
Let's zoom out to a
what
day
is,
zero.
What is fun?
I don't know. No, I do know now. So Firewatch yep. is this game where you start out. It's actually a kind of weird abstract start to the game.
Yeah, like the text adventure stuff.
Yeah,
it starts as a text adventure.
I really like that, and I would have been actually really happy if they brought that back at the ending.
I did read one piece by somebody who said that was the worst part of the game for them. And
I really liked it.
I liked it too, but I think he did make a pretty good point that if it was not there, you would have still figured everything out. Like, it didn't need to be there. If you think about it, most of the information,
some of it
is implied in the game at the very least. If not,
you don't know why he's out there.
It would take quite a while into that game.
Well, there's the part where she asks him.
Yeah, but it doesn't really go into that much detail on. Like, there's a lot of detail in there. Like, you get a lot of detail on why.
Some of the bigger problems with that seem to be, like, the choices where, like, you know, some people were like, all right, we're having a disagreement. Why are my only two options be an asshole? You know, like.
Yes. often.
There's degrees of asshole, though.
Yeah, but there's no, like, oh, well, I want to find an adult way to resolve this conflict. It's just like, no, I'm just either going to be mad or.
Right.
Or
like, so that actually, that's a good point. So we mentioned at the beginning, we're going to spoil this a lot, because to actually talk about Firewatch, it's really hard, because the game is the story. Like, that's really kind of how this all plays.
I think I could talk around it, but I think that most people who buy the game are gonna be at the point we are too with it.
For us to have a discussion,
like, also, like, the game itself, like, isn't without the story, there's really no point to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a closed open world, if that makes any sense to anybody. Or linear open world is probably a better.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, sure, it's a large open area, but it's, you know.
I'm not even sure it's open.
No, it's real. Okay, I'll give you that. It's really not as well. But, you know, it's as open as the house in Gum Home, where you can go to different rooms in any order you want and blah, 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 this. But in the end, you got to go where the game wants you to go. There's nothing extra to do.
But in terms of what we were just discussing. There's a choice early on where you and Julia, you had been talking about having kids. I don't know how you guys went that way, but for me, like, I had, you know, we had talked about having kids, and
yeah,
that gets waylaid, gets pushed to the side because she accepts a job. Well, she gets invited to a job at Yale, I think, and there are two options. One is you try and convince her not to go, and the other is you let her go, but
commute 2,500 miles.
Commute. Right. Like, to me, I'm like, huh, like, why, like, as me, like, as somebody who is married, like, if, like, those wouldn't, they're not the only two options that are there.
No.
And honestly, in my opinion, like, commuting that much is
stupid.
Not an option.
No, it's insane.
My girlfriend said to me when those options came up, she watched me play the very beginning of the game, just that part. And I'm fucking like, I said that. I go, dude, commute 2,500 miles? Who the fuck is going to do that? And my girlfriend was like, people do that? I was like, there might be people who do that, like rich-ass fucking people. It ain't never happened. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, and by commute, like, by commute, weekends what they said, shit. Yeah, she was coming home like three times a semester. Like, I think that they actually spell that out.
Yeah.
But
like every 3 weeks. Or,
yeah, yeah, but even so, like, that's fucking insane. Like, to me, like, the other option is, I don't want to go, but this is really important to you, so I go with you.
Yeah, right. Like, the fact that you were so obstinate and didn't want to move out of, like, Connecticut or wherever.
I guess it depends on what you're doing, but it doesn't seem like this guy was doing much, right? Because
he's a fucking drunk.
Yeah.
He's a drunk who's in love with his drunk wife. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, like to me that was a weird choice. Like you're putting me, and very clearly, like you want to tell this story, but don't give me the option of being an asshole or an asshole. Like
yeah, well, and then later, when she comes home at 4 a.m. one time, and you're angry that she never called or anything. Your two options are start yelling or just ignore her. Like right. It's not like, hey, let's figure out why you were out at 4 a.m.
Yeah, let's have a conversation.
You know, let's be adults about this.
I'm mad at you, or I'm going to. I'm mad at you, so I'm going to scream at you, or I'm mad at you, and I'm just going to turn my shoulder to you and ignore you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Like, those early choices. I liked the flavor they set up. I didn't really like that the choices you gave me weren't really choices.
I think that the writing, though, throughout, but also just referring to the beginning here, it was really, I think, good writing. Like good adult mature themes and the way they handled the way their relationship plays out. Like there's just a part where she comes home late at night drunk and you're pissed off in bed and it's like, do you pretend you're asleep or try to say something? And she just goes, go fuck yourself. And
that's my problem. Like that's one of the areas I'm talking about where I was like, why are my two options yell or ignore? Like why not just be
I understand.
Why isn't there a mature option?
I understand. Well, I do think that is a realistic depiction of adult relationships at some point. Like, you do get into fights and shit like that where you just despise each other, you know? Yeah,
you can, but there are also other – there's always another option,
yeah,
right?
Why isn't there a third option? I'm not saying get rid of the others.
And that's not to say that there aren't times when I would choose option A or B, but there are also times when there is an option C. And, sometimes I am really angry, so I choose option A. Or sometimes I am really bitter, so I choose option B.
But
sometimes I am, rational, and I choose option C.
I think there is room for these narrative games, though, sure. To not be RPGs. Like, to...
Then don't give me a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Just
tell me the story.
Yeah.
But you can still... It's giving you some agency while they are maintaining control of the story.
But you're giving me agency to, not like this character at all, that you're putting me in the shoes of.
Oh, I think he's very likable, though, once it gets going.
But from the outset, you've put me on, the outs with him. This isn't how I would have handled this, but you asked me to handle it.
Yeah, no, I guess I could see that. I guess I'm more of an asshole, too, like him. Like, I was like, yeah, dude, fuck all this shit.
Yeah, motherfucker, that's the choice I would make.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were choices here that I wasn't happy with. But that's fine. I mean, it's okay. There are choices in The Walking Dead I'm not happy with.
Yeah.
Sure. I also think that, that intro is also indicative of the budget of the game, because it's just I wonder if at some point... They were like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could 3D model this, but we don't have a whole lot of money, so we're just gonna text adventure this whole intro.
It's pretty effective for what it is, though, and it is it's an interesting setup where this guy, his wife, gets dementia at a really young age.
Yeah. I actually think it would, now that people are talking, somebody mentioned it here, I actually do think it wouldn't have been bad if the game didn't have it, and you just learned all that stuff. More naturally than just it being told to you.
Well, more naturally than, which I think would be fine. I think that the way the game presents it, you don't get that. You don't get the full story of why you're there through the game. You get some bits and pieces of it. Yes, there are. You make some choices when you're talking with Delilah later on, but you also, your choices there, are informed by what you know from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I could. I mean, I have no real problem with it. I think it would be more interesting. I think it's the same way I feel about voiceovers in films. It's find a better way to do it. Don't use that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, I think there are definitely ways to create a conversation where all that information could have been conveyed while I'm actually in the game and not waiting to get into the game.
Right. Like maybe, as you're starting the game, she's kind of interviewing you or something, where you're kind of giving out more information than you would have, and giving you, the player, that information as well to kind of go, but not make it be part of the relationship aspect or something.
But as far as text adventure intro as that goes,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty effective. I see a lot of people on Twitter like kind of responding to it, like being like, "Oh my god, I was crying and stuff." Like I was nothing like that, but I was like,
let's get a handle on ourselves here.
But I feel like the storytelling there set with the music and stuff, it sets a good tone, and I was instantly like drawn into like what's going on in this guy's life, you know.
And I was too for a while, and then when it stopped being about his life, I got bored and was just playing the game to be like, maybe it'll wrap around and find itself again.
All right, and I hear what you're saying, and maybe Crystal will agree with you, but in my opinion, like, the game is really like this, like, kind of paranoid, like, type thriller, but that just takes the time to establish the characters so that you care about them when that stuff starts happening. Like, that is always the aim, is for them to get to that, like, you know, someone's watching you in the woods, what's going on, like, am I going
crazy? Okay, but, like, that is like saying if Gone Home became a ghost story, and halfway through the game, you were collecting all these things and learning about the family and stuff like that, the house just became haunted.
That sounds cool.
That's not what Gone Home was or is. Like, that's totally disingenuous to how the beginning of the game presents
I think
itself.
What Jeff is saying is that...
But
that,
you're offering me a hypothetical of what I'm saying, like...
I think Jeff's saying that...
That's what you're saying, but... Like,
what your perception of the game was is not actually what the game was.
Yeah.
Which I think it's... I kind of agree with both of you on this. Like, I really enjoy the relationship aspect and the that stuff that happens in those maybe first 15 days of the game. But I also, like, see, like, having watched a lot of thrillers, like, there is that slow build-up to what is the actuality of what you're doing. The problem with Firewatch is none of that is kind of... You don't know what Firewatch is until you start playing it.
Well, and, like, I guess maybe if some of that had been presented in the beginning of the game in any way, shape, or form, then...
I think there's always a sense of menace there from the beginning. Like, there's a part very early on I saw a guy standing, like...
Right, he's far shining away, like, right after you deal with the girls, like...
Yeah, he's just looking at you, and she's like, dude, you're in a trail where people hike and camp. Like, get over yourself.
Well, and that was Ned. Like, that was that guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, like, you're told to be like, oh, yeah, sure, there might be people out here, but they're nothing to be afraid of.
Like, I don't think I even got her to say that because I didn't, like, respond to it in time. I just, like, saw my cursor and it said there's a guy there. And I was like, what? And then, like, I went to do something and he had already walked away. I was like,
Oh, no.
He didn't shine the light in your eyes? And
no, I don't think so. No.
Oh, huh. No, that's what happened, yeah, with me. He was like, hey, and then I, like, called it because why wouldn't I? Because I just want to know what she says. And you're just like, yeah, there's a dude up here.
Yeah,
with a
that's
flashlight.
Exactly what I did.
And she's like, and you're just like, yeah, and he's just looking at me, and she's just like, hey, guess what? And you're like, what? And she's like, you're in a forest, a public one, where people camp. And he's just like, oh yeah, right, all right, and then you just move on, like it's treated as nothing.
Right.
Like the game actually like makes a bigger deal out of those girls disappearing and the fact that like. Even though you know you didn't do anything, you might be implicated in their disappearance. And I was like, oh, that might be, like, weird and interesting, even though it's not necessarily what I want. And then they just shove that to the side so fast in lieu of this other nonsense.
And it's wrapped up in a, like, a one-line reveal later.
I don't know if it's shoved aside so fast, but it is wrapped up very, like, it's just like, oh, yeah, remember those girls that you were, like,
don't worry about that shit no more.
we took care of that. Guess what? Because, like some of your other problems have to deal with them, too. Like, they cut the line to the communication, right? Because you're a dick.
Yep.
Or they perceive you as one. And I was like, oh, all right. So maybe, like, they're going to be, like, the weird antagonist because it's just, like, you know, they want to do what kids want to do, and I'm the adult who has to tell them not to.
I enjoyed the relationship aspect, and I would have been fine if it just kind of continued down that line. I didn't dislike when it shifted to being the more kind of thriller type aspect either. I have issues with that, but more the gameplay restrictions that arise from it.
Yeah, it's weird too how they like gate areas. They're just like, you're like, find brush, and she's like, well, I guess you just have to wait until you find some tools. And I was like, Seriously?
I can't just stomp. One, why don't I have any tools? Like, why am I here with no tools? Like,
yeah, should this be like part of the tool, the kit you give me when I get the job?
Right. Like, why am I going and getting old rope? Why don't I have new rope? Like, and yeah, so like there are definitely some like weird things.
You said old rope, and that immediately reminded me of the whole plot with the kid and stuff. And I was like learning about her relationship with that kid. And I don't mean relationship in like a really creepy way. No, there might have been some of that there. But more in just like how she knew him and stuff. Like, if I had never known what had physically happened to him, I actually would have been more satisfied than when I found out, because it was the obvious route to go, and just sort of leaving it ambiguous, I think, would have helped fit with the tone of just like, hey, this is how life is. We just don't know, you know, instead of creating this world where for some reason everything has to tie together and stuff. Like, hey, I found this backpack with this kid's name, and then, you know, 2 months later I find his body, and this whole thing, it's all interconnected. It's a giant conspiracy. It's like, guys, come on.
I don't know if it was a conspiracy, but
no, but you're supposed to think of this originally.
Right, like you're going down this paranoid delusion with Delilah. Who should have more sense? Like why? I guess some of it is
she's a drinker too, and she's also isolated just like you. Like, the difference between you guys is like
she has the radio to the outside world.
But her situation is probably almost worse, because, like, you're at least getting to wander around and clear your mind. Like, she's just sitting there, like, in that office or whatever the whole goddamn time.
Well, and I get, you know, that, like, the guilt she might feel in Kate if he's, you know, dead and this, which, you know, he is and stuff. And I, you know, that stuff's interesting. But again, like, I didn't feel the need for that to become part of the plot later in the way that it did. You know, I also wondered, and I think maybe it would have been better if the game done this, give you a choice to tell her or not. But it kind of forces you into having to do it and just giving you options on how to do it.
Well, it's all that stuff is very crammed into the last act. Like you get you get a little bit of the information, like when you find the backpack, which has the rope. So you get a little bit of that information about like Ned and his kid prior to that, but you just like, oh, they're missing.
Well, okay. No, it wasn't even that. They just left.
Well, right. Like, you don't know what happened. She doesn't know what happened to him. One day they just picked up and went away.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, people do that. You know, the job runs out and that's it.
But I did have issue with, like, they cram all of, like, and you're supposed to feel bad for Delilah and for the, you know, the choice that she made. And I didn't care. Like, I thought it was just crammed in way too quick, way too. Like, everything else you're given time to.
What choice? The choice of her leaving? Or
No. All of the information. The choice of, like, that, you know, that she did not tell. Because she is racked by guilt over the kid dying.
Because she never said anything. And she's like, oh, if I had just, because kids aren't supposed to be here, this and that. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
so, okay. All of that information is crammed into, like, what's it, like, day 78 or something like
yeah,
that?
So, yeah, like, 78 and, yeah.
All exactly. of it is revealed in day 78. Like, you have really no understanding of what is going on.
Those are bombshell lines, though. Like, they landed. Like, I was like, whoa.
See, I didn't think that any of them, I was like, really? Like, you're just going to throw this shit out here like this? Like
it went from 0 to 100.
And it didn't, like...
Well, the whole game was dialogue, just you guys talking together, and then, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know what more you'd want them to do with that other than her telling you, like...
But with everything else, you kind of explored, like, you know, you talk about your feelings with your wife and how...
Why
you're out there. Like, you never build up to that for her to kind of reveal all this, and then it's just revealed, and then it's like, time to go!
Yeah, there's no process. There's no time to process.
There's no delay. It's just like, well, hey, I'm a big fuck up, and my fuck up probably killed this kid, and yeah, we gotta go.
And credits.
Oh, and yeah, and that thing that we have been paranoid about for the last, you know, 30 days is just the crazy dad.
Yeah, oh my god.
I like that. I really like that. Like, I'm so the opposite of other people on that.
I don't mind that that's what it was, but I feel that, like, it wasn't earned. It was just kind of shoved at me, and
You felt like they didn't touch upon like that story enough before that.
Yeah,
right?
they didn't build up to it for me.
If you'd told me that it was the kid, and that he had just like ran away from his father and lived there for a couple of years, I would have bought that more than it being the dad. Like
that sounds horrible.
Well, so does the dad. The dad.
Comes from like a real human like sense of guilt over something, and like, what is the? I don't get that. Like that.
We learn so much about Brian, and like we feel him as a character, even though we never like see him, because like we find his hiding spot, and he loved video games and this and that, and that, you know, he talked to Delilah and they sort of like connected and stuff. And the father, we learn so little about him even through the world, that like when he finally comes and like speaks and gives his manifesto, it feels so much like the villain just like revealing, like monologuing
to
you.
He's the boogeyman.
Yeah, and then he just finally, for whatever reason, maybe the fire, I guess, decided to reveal himself and the whole plan. And, like, that
What was the plan?
Exactly.
I'm still confused as to what his plan was.
I have no fucking idea.
Because he, like, at the end, I mean, I guess he just walks off into the fire. I'm not really sure. Like, he says, don't come
find me. It's left open. Like, we don't know if he's dead or alive or anything.
And I don't care.
Ned's return.
That's the thing, like, as an antagonist, like, I felt like they were like, oh shit, we need to have more conflict in this game that doesn't come from the characters' prior lives. What do we got? Like, what if we just create a crazy camper? Go. And it's just, what?
Do they, going back to Delilah, do they ever really kind of, do we ever get an understanding of who she's talking to? In those instances where you were kind of overhearing another conversation she was having?
Once, and no, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I had it happen once, and that, like, threw me off, too, because it was like, oh, I thought she was in on something.
Yeah, because, like, it made me very distrustful of her early on.
Yeah, right? And I don't... I only had that one instance, like Peter said. Like, that was it. Like,
yeah, it was just... It's the one that, like... comes up automatically. If you get paranoid, she gets annoyed with you, and then
I didn't get paranoid. Like, I was like, hey, you're still on the line.
And
then I just kind of like let it go and just like ignored it. Like, all right.
Yeah. And then they never wrapped around back to it. I mean, maybe she was just talking with another camper or this and that. Like, I think it was more of a test of who you were as a person, like as a player, and
Which I wonder if that stuff ties into the reports. Like, I don't know what was on your reports. I don't know if they are, all the same. Like,
what report?
There's tons of shit you can pick up. But when you go to, the site where the listening post basically, and there are reports all over the ground, and in the binder. If you read them, there is like detailed reports on Henry and on Delilah.
Yeah.
And they seem to be based on, like, at least from what I read of Henry, seem to be based on like choices how I was playing the game, basically.
Oh, I see. I kind of breezed over them, because I was having issues. Like, I became so annoyed with some of the technical issues that I didn't want to read anything.
Okay.
I didn't have any problem with reading notes.
I don't know what it was, man. Every time I would read a note, you know how it would display the text and stuff? Like,
so
you'd read it easily. And then I would press the button to put the note down, and he would put the note down, but the text would still stay up. And then I had to go into the menu, reselect the note, unselect the note, and then leave the menu.
I don't know. I got to a point where I was actually just, like, reading the actual note. Like, not bringing up the text on my screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I just felt it was more, like,
more authentic.
Flavorful.
Yeah.
And you could totally do it that way. But yes, like, there were comments on the report about Henry that kind of made it seem like it was based on the choices and how you were playing your game. So I don't know if you guys got any of that.
I don't remember, honestly, what my report said.
But like outside of the story stuff, and I texted Jeff last night about this because it was really bothering me. I got to the point, I was like, 76 or 77, something like that, right when you're going into the listening post.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get to the listening post, and you can't get in because the fence is locked, the gate's locked. And I'm sitting there, and I text Jeff going, why can't I just hop this fence?
Yeah, right?
When I first saw the fence, the very first thing I thought was that. I'm like, that's not really a high fence, and
right.
There's no barbed wire.
It's a 7-foot fence. Like, there's like, no barbed wire.
You're not going to get caught in anything. Yeah, like, I could hop that still. I'm out of shape.
Probably. Right. You know, like, I'm a fat fuck, and I can get over that fence.
Like, if need be, if I'm worried about, like, what's going on here, I could do this. There's all sorts of stuff like that, like...
All I needed was a line that said it was electrified.
Yeah, because so it's just not
you walk
just
halfway
like,
up a slope and like you get stuck. And you're like, oh, yeah. I can't just walk up the obvious path here. I have to like walk around
a
mountain. You
have to go all the way down and around.
Like, you know, but that always pisses me off in Fallout or anything like that. When I'm trying to get around a mountain, I'm like, God damn it! But the stuff here looks like anybody could walk over it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
there's
at least
stuff that's
Fallout,
waist high that you can't climb up. But then it's like, here's this really hard outcrop and like. All right, I couldn't do that, but I could walk up that fucking, like, little bump in the hill. Oh,
I will say this, though. The actual gameplay, like, and this will probably be, like, a not popular opinion amongst anybody, but, like, I really loved, like, in my opinion, the core of the gameplay is it's a map and compass game. Because I fucking, that was, like, the main thing you do in it, and I fucking loved it. Like,
I hated that after a while. Dude, I liked it at first. I liked it at first. It was fun.
That's and, what it is. That's what the game is.
Towards the end, when I like it's real because everything looks the same in that game. It's very easy to get lost and a little disoriented. And then the fact that every 10 seconds I'm checking the map to make sure I'm still facing the right direction.
Well, that's what I was. Well, I was having problems. The only time I had problems with that was on the last day as I was trying to get to Delilah's outpost.
Yes.
Like because everything turns like red and it's. Like smoky and
also I had a problem with it at the end, not the end, when you find like the kid's hiding spot and you get the hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no indication that I was supposed to use them, and it was just like, all right, go back into the cave. And so I tried to go where I went before. That's like I spent maybe 20 minutes in a circle.
Oh, okay. So
I finally accidentally found
you. You turned around after you got them and went back out the way you came in.
I tried to because that's what it said to do. It said go back into the
cave. Right, but there's an outcrop right there that has like one of those cracks because they all look the same, right? Like all the hitch posts for the ropes, the rappelling lines, and all the ones where you can stick the little anchor into the rocks. They all look exactly the same. And if you had walked a little bit forward, not
I might have
back,
got the prompt immediately.
You would have got the prompt immediately, but you went back because it did say go back to the cave. I was still kind of like exploring around there and I just stumbled across it and it was like, oh, so this is how you use it. You got to look for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's because I just found the button prompt by accident. I was almost tempted to like look it up because I was like, okay, it's saying go back in the cave, but I'm missing something because there ain't no way to fucking go back in this cave. Also, I thought there'd be more caves. I was kind of mad there was only one cave, and I was like, well, way to telegraph the story, or like where we're going in the end. I thought maybe there'd be more that you could like find other collectible shit or something in.
Yeah, there's really not collectible shit.
No, it's just notes and a turtle. I threw that turtle off the edge, man. I wanted to see what would happen.
There's a turtle. I didn't find the turtle.
You find the turtle by accident, and then you pick him up. You can adopt him. And then the next day, he's in a box. And if you pick him up, he just disappears. So I was like, okay. I'm just going to throw him off the edge.
Where did you find a fucking turtle? Where was that?
I found him. It was early in the game, like day 2 or 3 or something like that. I think it's day 2 you find him.
I saw a raccoon once, and he ran away, and I never saw him again.
He's up. I think he's up near the communication line. I think that's where I found him.
I didn't see a raccoon either. I saw a deer once. Like
I did see
a buck.
The one you're supposed to see that makes that really like freakish noise.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not what those sound like.
Well, what did you guys do with the radio when you came across the girls? The skinny dipping in the
lake? I waited for them to leave, and then I was like, fuck you, and then I threw it in the lake.
Okay.
Because they were like, hey, put it down, it's expensive. So I put it down, and then they left, and I was like, you know what, fuck you guys. And then I threw it in the lake.
I threw it in the lake while dealing with them.
Well, I thought I was being clever because I, like, you know, I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, I'm just going to take this for me. And I picked it up and they, like, said something about it. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just put it back down.
I wonder if you could take it. I wonder if that would, like, if you could just steal it.
That was my immediate thought. I was like, I'm taking this sweet
I'm just
going
to carry it with me and yeah, take it back to my cabin.
In 1989, that shit was a fucking treasure.
Yeah, I got angry at them and tossed it in the water. And they're like, we're going to... You can't do that to us. Which sets off, like... I mean... I guess it's all scripted. Like, you guys ended up with them still cutting the wire. And,
yeah, no, that's just part of day two. It's like, and that's why I thought that whole thing was going to be more than a single line of dialogue in the end that said they stole a tractor when it got in jail, and that was it.
Yeah, that... I'm...
Also, by the way, if you get thrown in jail, like, it doesn't take that long to notify your parents. They're going to do that.
One, that would be the first fucking thing they do.
Yeah, yeah. Like...
Bail our asses out, literally.
Yeah. I also don't like... Yeah.
Yeah, the invisible walls were probably the biggest technical piece for me inside the game. I had problems early on with my controller.
What were you playing with?
I had an Xbox One controller plugged into my PC.
Oh, okay. I used my DualShock.
The game went nuts, and evidently there were problems on the first day with some drivers, where I guess the DualShock needed some, like, special driver too, right? Like,
well, it does just to work on a computer, but because it's also on PS4, it has all the button prompts and actually knows how to talk to a PlayStation 4 controller once you have, like, the DS4 windows or whatever, once your computer recognizes it. So I never had any problems with that. It was more just like, did anybody have an issue with day 15, by the way, where you, like, wake up and can't move?
No.
Because that happened to me.
My issues were very standard issue, like, pop in, like, I felt like I was getting stuck on the environment just walking. Like, where I'd just be like, why am I not moving forward? And I look down, and there's, like, nothing there.
Yeah. There were a couple times where I would run up to, like, something I knew I could climb, and if I wasn't exactly in the middle, the button prompt wouldn't show up, so I'm just, like, rubbing against it, waiting to find the correct angle in order to press the X button.
I also felt like I was moving way too slow. Like, even when I was running, I was like, this is as fast as you can run. Come on.
He's not very fast.
We needed an auto sprint button in that game because for God knows what reason, maybe to artificially extend gameplay, they make you go from one end of the earth to the other most of that game. It's like...
It's a map game.
Well, see, so like you guys were both playing with a controller. I don't know how it works on...
It's a hiking game.
Like do you press in on the stick to run? Like call
no,
it
No, it's
style?
Like it's L2 square. Or something like that.
Square button.
Do you have to hold it? Or
I think
it?
You have to hold it, yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's a toggle.
No, it's a toggle. Yeah,
it's a toggle on the keyboard too. And it kept fucking me up because I didn't feel like I was moving fast enough.
I thought when I was running that I was actually walking, you know, because I was still slow.
Yeah. Well, I would press W to walk forward, and then press R on the keyboard to run, but I'm holding R down, and then I would let it go, and then I'd be like, no, I want to check my map or whatever, and I want to run again, but it toggles the run off, so now I'm walking. I'm like, why am I moving so fucking slow?
That was kind of frustrating, where it's like, I always have to, like, tell him to run again after taking the map out. I was like, all right, come on, man, like, just some, like, quality of life things would have been nice. And if there was more interesting stuff to find using that map, I would have been better. I would have been okay with it, but just constantly, like, telling you to go from your house where you start to these other places, I don't know. Like, there were easier ways to do that than to just constantly force you to slow down.
The big one for me, though, was that, like, I got to the fence, like, where you're going to go into to actually explore inside there, and... Oh, well, you need to go get to the firefighters. Oh, they're all the way... You're in the northwest quadrant of the map. It's like, you need to go to the southeast quadrant
of
the map.
They are as far in the opposite direction
as
you humanly
possible. Possibly go. You need to travel the entire... Really? You're...
And there's nothing... like, all you're doing is just going back through familiar paths you've seen 100 other times during the rest of the game. Like, it's not like it takes you through anywhere unique until you reach that area of the game, like, that area of the story. It's just like, all right, let's backtrack all the way, and then we get to finally go somewhere new. So
and
couldn't
it,
we just have...
It's just funny that, like, that to me was, like, something that, like, bothered me, because ultimately the game's only about 3.5 hours long.
But you realize that, like, most of that is just doing nothing.
Yeah, it's probably only, like, an hour and a half game if I don't have to keep walking across the map. Were you guys, like, kind of upset? Did any of you see Delilah? Like,
no.
Is that an option?
No,
like,
I don't think so.
No, I think it's purposely not.
Yeah.
I don't think you see a single person in the game for real, like, a person's face.
Up close, yeah, no.
And that's okay. I was okay with that. The ending, the very ending.
I was okay with the very ending.
I was like, all right, I get that.
I don't know what your choices were, but yeah, the one I made sense for me. And
Are there different endings? I'm curious about the different choices.
You know what? I didn't really need him talking to her again. I thought it would have been cool if she decides she's going to leave and she's like, see ya. And then, like, he just gets there and he's like, I think just seeing her, like, where she was at was kind of enough. Like, seeing, like, all the things you guys were talking about. Like, she had drawings and stuff around her place. And then you just get in the helicopter and leave. Like, I don't know if I needed to talk to her again.
I like that, for me at least, like, it resolved why I was there. I guess it's probably based on your dialogue choices about how you progress, but...
Apparently, you can't, if you at the very end, if you don't want to, you don't have to get on the helicopter.
Really?
After 2 minutes, it just leaves, and then you just die.
Okay.
How did you guys like the device of, like, the fire that grows and moves closer? Like, it's a kind of a super obvious, like, I think, metaphorical, like, device, but I liked it, you know?
I was like, whatever. The fire itself was
I thought,
like,
it made, like, a really cool, like, spectacle of the end of the game, and
it just confused the shit out of me. Like, there was...
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't even notice that the fire was coming closer.
Nope. All it did was just make things red and hard for me to see.
Yeah. Like, I mean, my vision was blurry. Like,
well, you can't expect Uncharted 4, like, fucking scripted shit, like, blowing up at you and stuff. Like,
no. I don't want
that.
I just didn't... Like, the only thing for me that, like, it coming through, like... After I left the hideout of what's his name, Ned, I get out, Fry, and like, you need to get here real quick. And like, the whole time, like, it's like, I'm almost there. I'm almost, like, I'm looking at my map. I am, like, not anywhere fucking close to being almost there. But okay.
Nowhere. Yeah.
And everything was at that point just kind of like swirling, smoky, dirt shit at me, and I was having trouble with the map because I couldn't really.
It's a culmination of your map reading abilities at that point. Like, that's... I love that part of the game, because, like...
But that's not a part of the game, it's like...
No, that is. Like, that's what the whole game is, because, like... Alright, like...
Jeff really enjoys the map reading.
For people who have not played this game, it's like, the map in this game is not a normal, like, video game map where, like, there's you on the map, and it's pointing you which direction you're facing. No, it's basically giving you an actual
half
map. Of the woods, and you have an actual compass that you have to, like...
Yes, no, but it totally is a GPS.
But hey, you are here.
Yeah, there's a little circle, and there are little dots from where you were just...
Yeah, but it doesn't have, like, a pointer.
Yeah, it does.
No, your circle is not pointed. Is it? I didn't notice that.
I'm pretty sure there's, like, a little...
I noticed dotted lines after a while that would show you, like, the trail you were generally going. Like, that you had been going, you know?
Right, yeah, if you were going that way,
like,
you know which way you 50%
of the way of being a video game map, and then they just dial it back enough to be annoying.
I really loved it. Like, and it really is, like, most of your gameplay in that game, besides, like, finding some new items and, like, light kind of Metroid elements, like, most of the actual gameplay is, like, all right, I gotta look at my map and go, okay, like, am I still on the trail here or not? And, like, pull up my map again, like, don't get off the trail. You didn't use the map?
Hardly. Like, I would pull it up and go, all right, I need to go in this direction and just go. Because there are paths to everything.
Yeah, but that's
the only time I lost the path was in that. The only time I really lost the path was in the end, when everything kind of got blurry from the smoke from the fire.
Well, see, that's the thing is, I had no problem at the end because I was building my map reading skills the whole way.
Map reading skills, Jesus Christ!
Dude, that is like the best part of that game. Besides the story,
if that's the best part of that game, then everything I said in my review is automatically correct. If the best part of this game is you staring at a map that is barely conducive to playing a video game,
I thought it was serviceable.
It was okay. No, I mean, as a map, it's fine. Like
Jeff enjoyed the tracking aspect of it.
Yeah, it's like a hiking simulator for a lot of it, kind of like with a story woven. You know,
I don't know if you guys listened to a Quality Control, the Polygon kind of review show.
I have.
They had.
I have not.
They had Colin Campbell on, on the last episode talking about his review of this, and he actually said, I guess he's playing some 18th century, like where you're a captain of a ship, and they give you a map, but it does not have the little GPS thing on it. So really, you're just
pointless.
Yeah, you're basing it all, like you're trying to base it off of landmarks and your compass.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds torturous.
Dude, I'd love it.
You
but,
should go play that, Jeff.
I don't know. I know you guys are not as positive about this game as me.
Nope.
But for me, I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed the story throughout. And, like, when I got to the part, like, when you get inside that fence, like, and I'm looking at this notebook and I find, like, the conversations we've been having, like, that was a huge, like chills down my spine moment where I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I was just like, I know you in your review, you said that it was, like, predictable. I was like, I had no idea what was going on. I thought they were going in a government conspiracy direction, which I would not like. And that's, like, you know, the thing about the end is, like, everyone hates the ending. And, like, I like that it went back into a smaller, like, it's just this crazy guy out in the woods. I do think it has, like, weird plot holes. Like, why is that fence there? Did he build that motherfucking fence while he's been hiding
out? No, like, there is a big plot hole about that, because why the hell doesn't Delilah know? Like, because somebody should have informed the fire watchers that, hey, there is a university site where they're doing soil samples. And it is fenced off for experimental reasons.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But there are, like, when you walk in, when you get through the fence, like, there's that box. Don't know if you opened it up. If you open it up, there's a memo in it that actually talks about the doctor that's running it and when he'll be there, which is actually outside the range of when you are there. Like, he's not returning again until, like, after you leave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably, like, some university experimental thing, but, like, at that point, you're also super paranoid, and what the hell's going on? What's this beeping? What is this shit here? And then you find, like, the notebook with the conversations and the reports on you. And
dude, that's just a great moment. Like,
it is funny looking back on it now that, like, it does telegraph that it's just one person.
Yeah, I don't know, I saw all that, and I was just like, ugh. Like, we have gotten so far from the original concept of this game that...
I do think that, and it's something, like, I don't think it's getting enough credit for, like, with the ending, though, is, like, that guy's story ties into the central themes of the game about both of the other characters. Like, it's about how they're running away from their problems and not actually solving them, you know?
Well, if we had learned more about him, except a couple of, like, random things about how terrible a person he was, I would have been okay with that. But there's no... He's not a character. He's a joke. Like,
he's just kind of painted as, like, a piece of shit that, like, let his son die or killed his son, like, depending upon how you want to view it. Yeah, I mean, yes, there is definitely that. He is the crazy guy that has run completely away from his problems.
Yeah,
but he's living in a cave.
I like that part ties into the characters we cared about in the beginning.
Like, there's a reason why Henry's out there. I'm still not really sure why Delilah's out there.
She says it. I just forgot what the story.
It's basically because she, like, has commitment issues. It sounded like.
Right, but she is still with her boyfriend. Yeah. But she didn't leave him. Like, that's it's implied that.
No, he left her.
But she says that he left her.
Yes.
But I don't, like, there. That's not how it kind of plays out. Like, there are hints that they are still together, that they are not broken up.
Yeah, I don't know. That part was confusing and set.
Right. It's like what?
Like, well, it's probably a very similar situation to him and his wife, where it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? We're separated, kind of. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad I played it. At the end of the day,
I was annoyed it was 3 hours. So I was like, God damn it!
We just almost had
a
little
bit shorter. I could have gotten a refund.
We almost had an hour and a half conversation about it. So I think there's something to it, and I think it's reasonably priced. You know, like.
No. Yeah.
I think it's gonna depend on how much you like the story. Like, I think that different people are gonna like the story. If you do like the story, you're gonna see it as like a pretty big deal. Otherwise, you'd be like, fuck this. You know.
Or if you really, really like the story and you really, really like maps and compasses.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to love this game.
Like a goddamn crazy person.
If you hate maps and compasses and you don't like the story, you're going to be on Pete's side. And if you like don't really like the story and don't really like maps and compasses, but you're kind of like, this is okay, you're with me. Like, there's three parties here, so. It is weird, though, like, the three of us played it, and we all came away with very different, like, kind of opinions on it, so.
And I've seen kind of the reviews kind of all over the place, like, and most of the negative things are about the ending, and, like, I fucking adore the ending. There's not a thing I don't like about the ending, so.
The ending, I don't know. Like, depends on which ending. Like, the ending to the plot is totally unearned. The ending to the characters is better. Like, they came back around to it, and I was like, why wasn't there more of this?
Because it's a thriller with well-written characters. It's not just a fucking, you know, mumblecore fucking movie where two people talk to each other for 2 hours. They wanted to do a story, you know?
I should have done a better one.
I just wish that, like, that final act was, you were given a little more time to deal with things and come to accept what actually happens instead of it just being kind of thrown at you and then, hey, get on the helicopter,
yeah,
or
like
die,
was,
kill yourself.
If, if there was a day, like, if day 80 was the ending and you had day 79 to, like, process the actual end of the plot,
right,
maybe it would have been a little bit easier to accept, but it was just like, oh my god, we gotta throw everything at you because we gotta wrap this up for some reason.
Well, whatever.
I don't care.
It is what it is. Fire
worth
Watch.
$20.
Definitely, I mean, if you
buy it on
definitely
sale, yeah.
Worth talking about. So, play it now before everyone stops talking about it.
I'll never stop talking about it.
God fucking damn it.
Game of the year. No,
that's okay.
I mean,
you know what I do? I was like, Jeff's going to be the only person out of all of us who, when Game of the Year comes around, is like, this deserves to be on the top 10.
I would say best story. It's like, gotta be in the mix.
Well,
I know,
I mean,
even
as,
if you don't
as
like
as of right story. Now, there hasn't been much else, so.
I think The Witch is a better story.
No.
let's quickly do some news here, because we talked for a long time about The Witness and about Firewatch. Forgot the game already, Jeff. let's see. I'm trying to see. I guess Ubisoft had their earnings call today.
Yeah.
And
stuff there.
They confirmed what Kotaku had reported on earlier in January, that there's no new Assassin's Creed game this year. They're taking a break off, a year off.
To reevaluate the franchise. Because I guess Syndicate didn't sell super well for them.
I was going to ask that.
No, Syndicate did sell well. It did not sell well first week. People waited to see the reviews, it seems like. From what I... They they specifically stated that sales of Syndicate were down considerably week one, but they rebounded strong week two. So it probably still sold decently.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, not what Unity sold. And
Unity really, like...
Unity fucked them. Like,
well, it finally showed everybody what that franchise really was. Or what it had been for a while, which was just, like... And, you know, they had all that controversy. Was it with Unity? About, like, the whole, like, females are hard to animate.
Yeah, like, they should never have said that. Like, you wrote a story... Like, the thing with Unity is you wrote a story... With this guy Arnaud, like, he's your character. That's why there were no female. Like, that's it.
Well, no, but then they had like co-op mode.
Was there a multiplayer mode or something?
There was, but everyone was Arnaud. Like, there was, like, there was no like separate co-op. Like, it was all part of the same game. Like, there was no separate mode.
There's no character customization.
No,
or anything.
Like, there's no. Well, I mean, there's character customization of your character of your Arnaud. Like, you can carry,
yeah.
But there is no, like, I'm going to play co-op Unity.
No, I got you.
I'm going to play, like, it was all, like, to access the co-op stuff, you were in the world as Arnaud, and you went up to a location and accessed it.
Oh, okay.
Like, it wasn't, I'm going to play co-op Assassin's Creed, and I'm going to jump in. Like, there was, like, some separate mode. No, it was all part of this, just like you would go to any set point to start a mission. It was the same way.
Did you ever play Syndicate, Chris?
Yeah, Syndicate's really good.
Did you ever find the World War One level?
In Syndicate?
Yeah.
No, I found... There's one in Unity. It was a World War Two level in Unity.
There's... Or maybe it's a World War Two level in Syndicate.
No, I haven't... I mean, I'm... Like,
I think they need to start modernizing, like, going further in time with that. So, I mean, they're getting close, but... Like, I think at some point they're losing the appeal of, like, going back in time as far as they have and stuff, I think.
Well, I mean, they're going back even further, if reports are true. They're going back to ancient Egypt with...
Yeah, well, okay, so at least, like, if they're going to go back again, let's get out of Europe, finally. And stuff, I think that aesthetic is sort of, done with people. They're like, all right, you've gone... Every you possibly could. Like, let's explore.
I think they need to go, like, further back in time and make Prince of Persia.
Or they can do a Ubisoft or Assassin's Creed Primal.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, I left this on Pete's Facebook page, I think, when he posted his Prince of Persia write-up. The reason that Ubisoft probably won't do Prince of Persia is they have to pay Jordan Mechner when they use that IP.
Maybe that's why Assassin's Creed was created in the first place.
The guy who... I have a feeling that's what it was. The guy who created Prince of Persia, when they use the Prince of Persia IP, when they like make games for Prince of Persia, they need to pay him a considerable amount of money.
Why don't they include him on making the game?
Because I don't think he actually makes those games anymore.
He doesn't make games at all anymore?
I don't know if he does or not. Like, but yeah, they owe him like a bunch of money every time they use it. So I do think, as Pete said, that might be why they got away from making Prince of Persia games. Because Assassin's Creed is 100% all theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, well, Prince of Persia was not selling well, but God, do I prefer Prince of Persia. Like, the platforming in that game is awesome.
And knew how to do controls.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. I hate Assassin's Creed because of the controls above anything, but, like, yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've never had a problem with the controls in Assassin's Creed.
They're fucking dumb. They're dumbed down, but not even good. Like, it's just...
Ugh, well, they just don't work. I remember I tried to play Assassin's Creed 2, man, and climbing in that game was a bitch.
Oh, well, they've improved that considerably.
Dude, you hold down, like, a button, and you just climb up everything, where, like Prince of Persia was more like Lara Croft or, like, Uncharted, where, like, you actually, like, thought about what you were doing.
You never have to think about where you're going in Uncharted. Uncharted is almost exactly like the platforming in Uncharted is almost exactly like Assassin's Creed.
What's that?
The platforming in Uncharted is almost exactly like Assassin's Creed.
I don't know. I haven't played them in a while, but like I remember them having more to it. Like Assassin's Creed, it just felt like autopilot, and then the combat was shitty, and like so like every gameplay element I hated, and I wasn't drawn into like the setting or the story, so I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, the first time I've been drawn into a setting has been Syndicate, like the whole like since the very first Assassin's Creed.
So that's fair. I think Syndicate is very good Assassin's Creed. But Unity, once it was patched, was also quite solid. So I remember Tony enjoyed it quite a bit after it was finally fixed.
After you were no longer getting faceless people in your game?
Right. Once it was playable. But yes, no Assassin's Creed this year. So, well, they've already had two. So
yeah.
No mainline Assassin's Creed, though. There might be a Watch Dogs, though, Jeff. I know you're happy about that one.
Why am I happy about that one?
I know you love Watch Dogs.
I
just Assassin's played... Creed in modern times.
I played like, worse. I forgot. Didn't one of us liked it? I think Tony liked it.
I thought it was okay.
I played like 5 hours of it.
Like it, and then after I heard not so muddling things about it, I was like, well, I'm not going to pay $60 for this.
I know Jeff it's particularly very cheaper hated now. It because it's a shitty version of Chicago.
Well, and I heard it's the story not... was garbage, so I was like, man.
Yeah, the story's pretty lame.
First of all, Chicago is an island in the game.
So it's like an alternate universe.
Yeah, none of the streets are real. Like, it's just...
like it's like they didn't have the rights to use Chicago.
It's just bullshit, dude. Like, if you're going to do a city, do it right. Like, otherwise, just make it like, you know, GTA and make a made-up city that's supposed to feel like a city. You know what I mean? If you're going to call it Chicago, make it Chicago. Like, have the streets and everything. Like, they had the highways. Like, I was driving on 94, which is, like, a highway here. But, like, I don't know. It was bullshit. It was fake as fuck.
Yeah, so I think they were the two big Ubisoft pieces I saw.
Yeah, they said that there's supposed to be a new AAA franchise coming next year.
Yes, there's that too.
I don't know what that means. I would rather they just go back and make like another Splinter Cell or something.
I'm good with like new stuff too. Like new stuff is fun.
Yeah.
If it's good. Can be, I guess. If it's good, it can be fun. So, McFarlane Toys, I guess, accidentally announced or revealed that Titanfall 2 is coming this year.
Oh, really? Because I mean, there was a review in the Guardian with the lead writer or Forbes rather, and he basically said, "Yeah, it's coming." And we're doing a campaign and all this.
Yeah, stuff. So I mean, we knew Titanfall 2 was in development, and yes, the lead writer said that it was that there would be a single player campaign in Titanfall 2, and it's going to be multi platform, and they're going to blow it all out. But McFarlane Toys, I guess, announced that they are making Titanfall 2 toys, and they'll be releasing them alongside the game this winter. Winter 2016 is what they said, so EA said that McFarlane will be releasing toys inspired by Titanfall in winter 2016, but we have not announced a release date for next Titanfall. So it's probably coming this winter to everything.
I play it.
Yeah.
I didn't play the first one, so...
thought it was fun.
It's pretty, like, I didn't get into it like you, like, Chris, you and Tony, like, played it a lot, right?
Yeah, Tony, myself, Fozzie, and Don played Titanfall a ton.
But there was something really fun about it. Like, it was just, it felt really fresh. I don't know, it was cool.
It allowed, like, kind of like what you were saying, Jeff, about Splatoon, which I never really got out of it, but that it allowed people that aren't good at shooters to feel productive in in a shooter.
Mm-hmm. It was cool getting those like fucking giant mechs, dude.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. Everybody could get a mech. Like, they weren't kill streaks, like, there weren't kill streaks in the game. Like, you would just, you would get your tight end. It would, you do better, you get it faster, but you would still get your tight end regardless in the game. And dropping them on other tight ends and on people was a ton of fun.
Yeah,
so that game is probably coming. People with PlayStations will finally get to play it. So it's a good time. Microsoft, I guess, announced Quantum Break. I guess they had a new trailer. It's coming April 5th. And if you get it on Xbox One, it comes with a free PC copy. So.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, free PC copy, and it also comes with a backwards-compatible Alan Wake.
Fuck, I had no idea.
Yeah, so they're basically doing a cross-buy, like, where you buy it on Xbox One, and you'll get a PC copy, which is pretty cool.
That's yeah. Nice, all right.
And that evidently angered some crazy people.
Okay, yeah.
Who were saying that Microsoft were abandoning the Xbox because they were releasing it, giving it away for PC. So, like, why should we even buy an Xbox now? That's what they're saying. Crazy people.
Because you're all chumps.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Don't buy an Xbox. Please go away because you're an idiot. So, this is good for everybody. More options to play games is not a bad thing. I guess there was some news on Destiny.
Do we want to talk about Destiny?
Don's not here. I like Destiny. I know you guys.
Don's not here.
Well, I mean, we probably should mention it, I guess. Destiny sequel is not coming till 2017. There'll be another expansion this year. I do wonder if anybody gives a shit at this point, though. Cause...
I certainly don't.
Nope.
I
mean, I like watching the train wreck that is Destiny, but I'm not buying it or anything like that.
I don't want to say that. I don't even go that far. Like, I wish I liked it more. Like, I played it when it first came out, and I sold it right away. I did too.
I played it all through last year. I think their new model of not having, you know, those kind of, like, smaller expansions to keep things going is really, really hurting it. Like, I have no reason to go in. Like, there has been no new content since the Taken King back in September. And it sounds like there might not really be any new big content until whatever this new expansion coming this year is. So, Destiny, folks. It's still a game.
No.
Let's see. Master of None was renewed for a second season.
I didn't watch
yeah.
The first
one.
I haven't
seen it. It's really good. It's, oh my god, you guys have Netflix, you gotta watch it. It's really good.
I don't really care for what's his face.
You all like him. Dude, season Sari?
Yeah.
Dude, I guess I did like him, but like...
I mean, he's okay, but like, I feel like his shtick is the same shtick.
It's a really well written comedy. It's fun, dude. You guys should give it a chance. Watch the first three episodes. If you don't like it, then whatever, but...
For what, like a half hour long?
Yeah.
I only mentioned that because I was scrolling up on this Polygon news feed, and that was there for some reason.
Huh?
Evidently, Microsoft is offering free downloads of anime for Anime Month. I don't know what they're offering. I don't really care. I don't watch a lot of anime.
I don't either. I should watch more, but I don't have time.
I don't really see any, like, major news here, so...
Yeah, I think it was... It's been light.
Yeah. We did have a question come in, though.
Well, that's right.
From Daxter. He wanted to know if any of us ever feel uncomfortable when a significant other is watching you play games.
I think it depends on the game.
Sure.
And what... that significant other feels about certain things. So, you know, the first, like, something like Bayonetta, for example, you know, they don't care about, like, sexual content in games, then who cares, you know? That's right. Something that makes them uncomfortable or something like that, then maybe it gets a little weird, you know? I don't know. I never really had any problem with that.
I mean, my wife doesn't really have much interest in games, so she rarely watches me play something. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know how to answer that one. I don't feel weird at all. That's. I guess I don't really ever feel uncomfortable. I do have friends that are like, they feel weird playing certain games around their wives or something. Like, oh, well, I can't play this while my wife's up. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just don't care. Like, if my wife had a problem with it, she would tell me. Like, I'm not going to, like, self... I mean, I, in many regards, I do not censor things here. Like, there are some things I won't, like, have on when the kids are around, but for the most part...
sure. That's different.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, though, I rarely censor things. Like, I don't censor music. I generally don't censor books or anything for them, so... and I'm not, like, going to be watching porn with them in the room, but, like, very rarely.
Certainly hope not.
Like, I mean, I'll have shows on that are, you know, I watch, like, Sons of Anarchy or whatever, like, where they've been, like, in the vicinity. They're not watching it, but they've been around, so. Not that Sons of Anarchy is, like, a super bad show or anything, but. Probably wouldn't watch American Horror Story with them in the room, though.
Well, that's just because it's a bad show, but.
I agree with you on that.
There's sometimes it's bad.
I don't know.
I didn't finish
every,
five.
Every season I try, and two's been the only one I've gotten through the entire way.
I really like three, which was the witch
one. Can't be for my taste, but it was goofy. Understand why a lot of people like that one.
I couldn't. Freak Show was bad, and I as much as I like Lady Gaga, I could not get through.
And I heard her character wound up going nowhere, and I was like, God damn it, I'm glad I stopped.
But like every season of American Horror Story, characters don't go anywhere.
That's true.
But, yeah. Jeff, what do you have on this one?
On what?
What do you have on this question from Daxter?
I will say this. Yes.
Yes.
You feel, okay.
You're uncomfortable sometimes around.
Yes.
Okay. I bet. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Jeff, you should play Rocket League next week.
Oh, yeah. I plan to get it. I keep forgetting that it's coming out, but...
Is it coming out on Xbox next week?
Yeah.
It
comes out on Xbox next week. So, Don is trying to get us a review copy, so we'll see who fights to the death over that one. And, we'll be back next week with XCOM 2, I guess.
Tony Street Fighter 5.
Street Fighter 5. Jeff is playing some other stuff.
Hopefully we'll get to... I'll play fucking Rocket League, right? I want to try it.
Yeah, we should be able to talk about Rocket League next week, so that'll be fun. So yeah, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.